Our scripture today comes from the last book of the Bible. It's one that we often don't tackle in worship because it is filled with all kinds of images of God's power and God's redemption in the last time that require a whole lot of unpacking. But today is a picture that John was granted a vision of by God. And in this vision, there's all these different images. And one of them is this gathering of all of the people of God before the throne of God at the end of time. And here is how he describes it. After this, I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these robed in white, and where have they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you are the one who knows." Then he said to me, These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor the scorching heat, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, open to us this day your word. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of each heart here, be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. How many of you remember the 6 degrees of separation phase and craze? Okay, a few of us remember this. It feels to me like it was yesterday. As I was thinking about it, I realized it was almost 20 years ago. So a few of you would have been way too young to have remembered this. It was based on a theory, actually, I learned, that was first put forth in the late 1920s. And the hypothesis goes this way, that a connection can be found between any two people anywhere on the earth by making a friend of a friend connection within 6 steps. So anybody, any two people on earth, in theory, can be connected by this person knows this person. So it would, you know, it's probably an urban myth, but the way it's supposed to work would go something like one person may have gone to school with this other person who is married to this third person whose cousin once was on an airplane sitting next to this person who grew up next door to the person with whom you are seeking to make the connection. The fascination with this theory resulted in a game called 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon. It was created in 2011, and it was done because they figured Kevin Bacon was in everything at that point. He, you know, every show, every movie that you can imagine. And so they figured it would be pretty easy to connect Kevin Bacon to any other actor at any time, any other way, through various films. And so people would play the game to see who could make the fewest connections, come up with the lowest Bacon number to connect Kevin with this other actor. Today, those of us who spend time on social media platforms informally play this game all of the time with our online relationships. The first time it happened to me, I was amazed when I was reading a friend's post and another friend of mine made a comment on it. And I thought, how do these two people know each other other than me? And I know they've never met through me, you know? And it would be, you know, a sorority sister from college comments on the post of someone from my first call when I was a youth pastor in Maryland. You know, different states, different generations, different context, and yet they know each other. This is also sometimes referred to as the small world phenomenon. Another experience that is common to most of us, on a visit to Hawaii, for example, I ran into a childhood friend and neighbor while I was standing on top of a cliff watching a whale breaching. At a wedding, I discovered that the father of the bride attended my college. You know, and in moments like that, we all feel like we should just join in the song. It's a small world after all. Sorry, Erica. I know that one runs in your at work in your background all the time. The pastor William Pippin Jr. observes that regardless of the size of our bacon number, when it comes to strangers, there is one link in our life that can always be shortened and strengthened, and that is our relationship with God. No kidding, he says. No myth, no separation. As he points to this passage in Revelation to support his claim, John here gives a vision of heaven, and in it he sees a great multitude from every nation standing before the throne and before the Lamb of God, robed in white with palm branches in their hands. And they cry out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." And Pippin observes that there is an ancient Latin phrase for this particular stance in relation to God, with the saints standing there in the presence of God proclaiming their praise, and it's called Coram Deo, and it means before the face of God or in the presence of God. To stand Coram Deo, which he says, is to be aware of God's presence and to be sensitive to the involvement of God in human life. To live Coram Deo is to realize that God is at work to forgive, to heal, to strengthen, and save us. It is to believe that salvation belongs only to God and the Lamb. Coram Deo is quite simply to live with no degree of separation from God. Today is our celebration of All Saints' Day, the day we remember and give thanks for the lives of the faithful who have lived their lives in faith and now live eternally in God's presence. The ones that John gets a glimpse of in his vision, who are experiencing Coram Deo in all of its fullness and glory, and who invite us to live in that reality as well. That is the first truth that this vision of John points us to. That while there is much to distract us from this truth in our life, the reality is that God is present and at work all around us all the time. This isn't just a heaven thing. God is on the throne. Jesus, the Lamb of God, reigns, and all God's people, living and dead, past and present, join together in giving God praise. We are called to live Coram Deo in the presence of God. That's the whole idea behind the incarnation, that God loves us so much that God came to be with us in Jesus Christ because to become one of us, entered our world and our human experience so that there never needs to be any degree of separation between us. No heaven up there and earth down here. No sacred versus ordinary. No degree of separation. It is what St. Patrick, I think, was envisioning when he prayed, "Christ be with me. Christ within me, Christ behind me, Christ before me, Christ beside me, Christ to win me, Christ to comfort and restore me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ in quiet, Christ in danger, Christ in hearts of all that love me, Christ in mouth of friend and stranger. Later, Brother Lawrence, a Christian mystic, urged his fellow monks to learn to practice the presence of God. He recognized that we are always living under God's gaze, but sometimes we lose sight of God. And so we need to practice the presence, doing things daily to remind ourselves and to train ourselves to be sensitized to God all around us, to be aware of God's sovereignty, to follow God's leading, to realize that God loves us, delights in us, desires to be near us in every moment and every event of our lives. To practice the presence of God is to seek to live life coram Deo, in the presence of God, viewing all of life, even the most mundane day-to-day moments, as nothing less than acts of service to God. But this vision of John is not only a vision of no separation between us and God, it's also a vision of how Jesus, in Jesus Christ, the divisions between people fall away as well. Gathered around the throne are people John describes as coming out of every nation, from all tribes and all people and all tongues. When we come face to face with God, everything that seeks to separate us as people disappears. When we see each other through the eyes of the world, we focus on what divides us, the color of our skin, the languages we speak, our political opinions, our sexual orientations, our language, the language that we speak, our but when we stand before God, when we draw near to Christ, all of that drops away. In the immediate presence of God and the Lamb, there is, in Paul's words, no longer any Jew or Greek, male or female, slave or free. We are all one in Christ Jesus. Not even death can separate us. That's what we remember today, that our unity that we find in Jesus Christ holds us even in death. There is so much in this life that causes us suffering. And John realized that those gathered around the throne had come through, in his words, a great ordeal. They, like all of us, had faced troubles and loss, hunger and thirst, scorching sun and the tears of loss. But in the presence of God, in the unity of Christ, all will be made well. The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel is one of my favorite movies. And there's no need to go into all the plot at this point, but there is a line that is repeated over and over in the movie by the character Sonny, who runs the Best Exotic Marigold Hotel, that he is trying to turn into a retirement home for seniors who cannot afford their retirement in England, so they're coming to India to retire at a lower cost at this beautiful place. But however, over and over again, when things go wrong or don't quite live up to the brochure that they had seen, and the new residents complain, he will assure them, everything will be all right in the end. So if it's not all right, it is not yet the end. Everything will be all right in the end. So if it is not all right, it is not yet the end. I suspect John may have been channeling his inner Sonny when he wrote down this vision. We are promised a life of no degree of separation. No separation between us and God, no separation between each other, not even any separation between life and death. That is the glimpse of the end that John is given. And if we don't see it all being lived out around us today, it doesn't mean that the promise isn't true. It just means it is not yet the end. For to the time being, we live in this now and not yet reality, where we can capture a glimpse of the promise and lay claim to the promise. In a few moments, we'll have the opportunity to remember and give thanks for those we know who died this past year, the ones we miss and feel separated from. But in Christ, we are promised that death is not the end, that God wipes away our tears and brings us together always and forever as the people of God. When I think of this promise, the picture that always comes to my mind is from another great movie, Places in the Heart. Those of you who have seen that movie may remember the final scene. It takes place in church at a worship service on Sunday. It's a communion Sunday. A hymn is being sung while the bread is being broken and the elements are being passed. And gathered there, as the camera pans the congregation, you see not only the people you would expect to see seated in the pews, the members of this all-white Southern congregation, but also members of the segregated Black community. There are the people in the church that clearly have always lived their life by faith, and there are those who are habitual sinners, and there are also those who have died, the young and the old, who are once again alive, resurrected, all gathered together, all giving praise to God, living coram Deo in the presence of God, united with one another in their praise of God and the Lamb. It's what we will catch a glimpse of ourselves in a few moments when we come to this table and break bread together. The promised end, when we will join together, not just with those of us who are gathered here in this sanctuary today, but also with all those who have gone before us. For we stand in the midst of a long procession of followers who have endured troubles, trials, tribulations, but who have continued the journey, who have stood firm, who have held on, who have dared to hope, who have lived their lives in the presence of God and invite us to do the same, allowing God to wipe away our tears and uniting us forever in Christ, gathering us together as one people, joining us all in the company of heaven, the communion of saints, where we can live our lives with no degree of separation, to the glory and the praise of God, forever and ever. Amen.